Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCAA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
We have someone sitting with us today, well-known person for his books, being in politics, Republican Party. We're going to talk about one of his books and the person he co-wrote with. And the book was The Clintons War on Woman. And I said that great. And it's Robert Morrow, who worked with Roger Stone. And, of course, he's been on the show several times. So hello, Robert.
Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, Al?
Well, it's going. It's going. You know, I'm starting to feel left out because no one's sending me any mean mail this week. And
what?
Dick pics or anything, you know, it's just, I'll tell you.
Well, that's not necessarily true. We have gotten an entire novel about the Luca case.
Oh, yeah, that guy, he's a nut. Come on. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but come on, we can only take so much of that.
And I want to bring him on the show.
Well, you do that when I'm off. you take care of that guy. He's a psycho. Psycho man. I'm handing them to you. You're in charge. So, Robert, Roger Stone, how did you two meet?
Well, we met over Twitter in the year 2013. I am an expert on the JFK assassination, and I saw that Roger Stone was going to be writing a book that was going to indict Lyndon Johnson for the JFK assassination, which happens to be my bailiwick, and Stone is correct in that, as a matter of fact. So I basically started emailing him JFK research that I had, you know, very high quality stuff that he could use in his book, and he liked it, and he gave me a call one day, and we're talking, this is the summer of 2013, and I eventually ended up flying down to Miami to meet him. I was going down there with another friend to interview some Andy Castro Cubans. And so we met in the summer of 2013 over his book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, which I do highly recommend.
Now, yeah, we had him on for that book as well as some of his other books. But I was just wondering... Now, were you aware who Roger Stone was when you were flying down to meet him? Did you have an idea who his history?
Well, yes. A Cliff Notes version of his history. I mean, I just knew that he was a longtime GOP political operative and was something of a libertarian trender. That's really all that I knew. I didn't know how close he was to Donald Trump for 40 years.
Now, when you say you met over Twitter, I mean, did you know, it's very rare that somebody of his stature will actually engage. What was unique about you? What was your approach to him that actually spawned a relationship?
Well, I mean, I just told you. I was emailing him. I got his email address and emailed him JFK research because I'm an expert on that, and he saw how useful it could be to his book. I mean, I just gave him a sampler of it. And when he found out that I knew what I was talking about, or rather knew a lot more than he did, he got in contact with me because he was writing a book that summer. Remember, the 2013 was the 50th anniversary of the JFK assassination. And a lot of books were coming out that year. And as a matter of fact, Roger Stone's book was probably the book of the year that came out that year. The only one that sold more would be Bill O'Reilly's Lone Nutter book called Killing Kennedy, but among the books that have like credibility, Roger Stone's book was the number one seller that year.
Right. Yeah. So now, when you met him, how? What did you think? Was it kind of what you expected, or was it more?
Well, I mean, we met at a Cuban restaurant in South Beach, and we had a nice conversation. You know, Stone is entertaining, charming, and as I found out later, psychopathic and a pathological liar on top of all that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. What? Two both
ends. Well, actually, he is. Roger Stone is a pathological liar. He lies constantly, and he has for decades. I mean, when he was promoting one of his last books, he said he'd gotten poisoned by polonium. Just completely made that up, okay? And so I've caught him in other statements he just completely makes up. But at the time, I didn't know just how bad of a psychopath and pathological liar the man was. I just figured he was a Republican political operative, colorful, you know. Like I said, he is a charming psychopath. And we had a lot of things in common. We hate the Clintons. We hate the Bushes. We hate Lyndon Johnson. I'm not a fan of Richard Nixon. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. But we had a lot of commonalities on the people in politics who we hate. And we have our reasons for hating them.
Right, right. But now, Roger Stone, I agree. Like, a liar is kind of a... Yeah, he's constantly. I mean, he was involved in dirty tricks, right? So that's he started being that way. That was how he operated.
Well, if you read his biography, not that he has written one, but one of the first things he did, he was in first grade, and he was campaigning for John Kennedy for president, and he told all the other kids that Richard Nixon was going to make them go to school on Saturday. And they ended up voting for John Kennedy, and he saw how effective a big lie was at the age of six. And he pretty much has continued his career in that exact same vein for 60-plus years following that. I mean, I could give you many other examples, like, you know, I don't want to go into details, but yes, he lies constantly.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because when he's telling the truth about someone or something, like the Clintons or Lyndon Johnson or the Bush family, in many cases, he's telling the truth, but he'll lie for himself and he'll lie for Trump.
But doesn't that's sort of the problem, but when you have someone that you know lies a lot and then they come up with something for other people like the Clintons or Johnson, then how do you know you can believe them?
Well, that's the whole point. You know, you discredit yourself when you're known nationwide and worldwide as a pathological liar. So, you know, the Robert Mueller is going to bust him online to Congress. And he's got, you know, the text messages and emails that are going to prove that Roger Stone lied to Congress. And Stone will be an easy conviction, and he'll go to jail. The reason he's prancing around so cocky right now is that he feels for sure that Donald Trump is going to pardon him come November or December of 2020.
Yeah, but that still doesn't erase a conviction. Okay, you're pardoned, but now forever. Forever, you're carrying this stain.
Well, that's who Roger Stone is, and I'm not defending that. I'm pointing it out that factually speaking, the Clintons are criminals. Factually speaking, Lyndon Johnson, the CIA, murdered John Kennedy. He's right on that. But factually speaking, Roger Stone is a longtime, enthusiastic, pathological liar. And that's going to cloud everything he does and says on every topic.
God, that's just sad.
Yeah. So, you actually think he's going to go to jail over this? Or you think... So Trump...
It's a no-brainer. I mean, I haven't followed it that closely, but I've followed it close enough. You know, he's being charged with perjury, obstruction of justice, and witness tampering. I think those are all, like, no-brainer convictions, especially in front of a Washington, D.C. jury. Yeah. Roger Stone is a one-man crime wave. He needs to be taken off the streets, convicted, tried, convicted, and thrown in jail. And that's going to happen. But, like I keep saying, the reason Roger Stone is walking, prancing around so cocky-like is that he feels like he has a Trump pardon in the bag, and it's not going to matter. He might go to jail for a couple of months, but no more than half a year. So he's trying to delay his trial as long as until he gets the Trump pardon he has in his head.
Witness tampering, I've been hearing a lot about that. Can you explain that? Because I must have missed something.
Well, you know, he's being charged with threatening to take away the service dog of Randy Cretico, okay, and telling him he's going to do that, and telling them that he needs to lie to Congress or pretend like he's in the mafia and kill himself in jail like a character from The Godfather. The Mueller people have all the text messages and emails of Stone saying that. That's witness tampering. I really, you know, when I started reading about how Roger Stone has treated Randy Cretico for so long, my opinion of Stone just dropped to a new level. He's like Trump. He's a bully. He's like the Clintons. He's a bully. If he finds somebody who's weak and he can get away with something, he'll keep getting away with it. Like when Roger Stone, you know, called and threatened the father of Elliot Spitzer and left a nasty voicemail, he said it was Randy Cretico doing that because Randy Cretico does voice impersonations. And that was a complete lie. So, you know, have you guys been reading up much on this?
Yeah, on and off. Do you know the...
It's hard. It's hard to keep
well,
up
with.
Well, with
Joan Mellon, too, right? When she told me that Roger Stone had also threatened her and said that if she showed up to the JFK convention, she might end up hurt.
And so, too bad for Roger Stone because she reported that to the FBI.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Roger was doing that, you know, I was just disgusted that he was doing that. He can't just go to a conference in New Orleans and present his material and let Joan Mellon present her material. He has to go into the ballpark of terroristic threats against a credible JFK researcher. Not that I agree with everything with Joan Mellon, but she is definitely a credible JFK researcher. And she at least, whether she's right or wrong, she at least tries to find the truth and tell the truth. I can't say that about Roger Stone. And so, because Roger did not like her book or her writings on Mack Wallace, one of LBJ's cronies,
right,
he was threatening her, you know. And he was also lying about her, saying she was a paid stooge of the Johnson family or a paid stooge of Ben Barnes. You know, she's not.
Yeah.
He will lie at the drop of a hat.
Well, isn't it sort of the way it is right now with the conspiracies and stuff? It's easy to just take someone like that and say she's a paid person, you know, like you're part of the government, the deep state.
Roger doesn't care about the truth, so he just makes it up and says it without any type of evidence at all that that is the case. That's what a pathological liar will do. He's lied about me, too. When I was elected the chairman of the Travis County Republican Party, the night of that, he put out, well, it looks out like the 20,000 robo phone calls that I put out for Donald Trump and Robert Morrow in Travis County worked. He was trying to take credit for that. He put out no robo phone calls. He's just a pathological liar. When I first met Roger, he told me his top two issues were abortion rights and gay marriage. At that point, I knew he didn't have any money. Okay?
I haven't heard him speak yet on either one.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, an obvious lie.
He's a pathological liar, okay? You know, you also haven't heard him, you know, call Jews Christ killers on national TV, which he does around me. You also haven't heard him quote Louis Farrakhan on Judaism, calling it a gutter religion that he emails me. So, you know, Roger Stone does a lot of things. The true Roger Stone is hidden behind a public mask. You know, so he's a cultural liberal, and but mainly he, when I met him, he was searching for relevancy. Life had passed him by. He was no longer an insider. He's no longer a player. No longer getting the attention that he wanted. I think he had some sort of a huge IRS debt. I don't think he owns anything. I think he rents in New York and rents in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm. He probably even leases his cars, as far as I know. I don't think he hardly has any money. The first check that he sent me for the Clinton's War on Women, $17,000, bounced. Did not clear. I had to call them and say, look, your stupid check bounced. Can you write me one that actually can clear? And they did. And then they gave me a $3,000 check later for a total of $20,000, and he gave me no transparency on the revenues or expenses of the Clinton's War on Women, which my contract entitles me to. So who knows? I mean, the question is, was Roger Stone stealing from me? Based on his character and pathological lying, I would not be surprised at that. I would not be surprised if he stole $20,000 from me.
Yeah. What's his passion for Donald Trump, if he's such a liberal in civil things?
No. You're messing up what's important to Roger. What's important to Roger is not liberal, conservative, or libertarian. It's getting a bunch of attention, being the fanboy of the president, acting important, thinking he's important, thinking other people think he's important. It's not the issues. Okay? It's not Donald Trump is against abortion rights, therefore I'm not going to support. No, it's Donald Trump is the president. I get to be important. I get to be interviewed. I get to sell books. I get to give speeches. I get to have the media follow me. I get to put up my hands in a Richard Nixon peace sign when I'm arrested on national TV. That's what's important to Roger Stone. He's an attention whore to the 10th degree.
Now, the rumor has it that he used to hire, he used to be a swinger and hire black men to come have sex with Nadia, his wife.
I haven't heard that rumor.
But
can't you just Google Roger Stone swinger and see the National Enquirer article on him in the 1990s exposing him putting up ads for swingers? I didn't hear anything about black women. They wanted to have men. He likes to have men. He likes to have his wife have sex with men in front of him. So he's the original cuck. C-U-C-K. Cuck. Cuckold. He likes it.
Wow.
That's a matter of fact. I didn't get the part about black men, though. I'm sure he'd be down with that. Roger says he's a trisexual. He'll try anything, which makes me wonder, you know, is he bisexual? He's a trisexual, you know? So, who knows?
Strange character.
I do know that he told me that he used to have sex with Ann Coulter, though. Said she was skinny. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, you act surprised at all this. Do you Google Roger Stone at all? It's all out there.
Google
Roger Stone sex freak, Roger Stone trisexual, Roger Stone swinger, Roger Stone sex. He used to tell me, Robert, I was up late last night. You know, I was in the sex club, you know, eating out women.
Yeah, I've seen lots of stuff.
Yeah, you got kind of surprised at all this.
You know, I take everything with a grain of salt because there's so much talk and there's so much stuff on the internet. So I can find pages of stuff on here on the internet.
And but I know Roger Stone personally. Yeah, so all that sex stuff on the internet is confirmed by my personal conversation with him. So he used to have an affair with Ann Coulter. He said he quit seeing her because she was skinny. She said he liked having sex with Maureen Dowd back in the day. He said she had big boobs. You know, he used to go to gay pride marches with his New York City mistress. You can Google that. That's one of his girlfriends. He has a kid with the former madam of New York City. I think her name is Kristen Davis or Kirsten Davis.
Yeah. She was managing him for a while, too. That's who we'd go through. It's just crazy that he's been able to be somewhat in the eye, but not for these reasons.
Well, in the 2016 campaign, here's the secret to Roger Stone. He lost out on a power struggle inside of the Trump campaign. He lost to Corey Lewandowski, who he hates, and who hates him back, okay?
Yeah.
And so when Trump started winning the primaries, Stone was no longer a part of the Trump campaign, but he kind of like was a Trump supporter and trying to act important and trying to help out Donald Trump. He was a wannabe, a hanger-on, trying to prove Donald Trump he was doing great things for him in the campaign. And so I guess you could say he was de facto a part of the campaign, even though he really wasn't in the campaign. He was on the outside of the campaign, but trying to act like he was on the inside. And so, you know, he wanted all the power and glory that would come to him if Donald Trump ever got elected president. I mean, in the delirium of Roger Stone's mind, he probably thought he was going to be a well-connected D.C. lobbyist, and he'd be making, you know, millions or tens of millions of dollars a year after Trump got elected. Instead, he's virtually broke, he's indicted, and he's going to jail. So it didn't really work out for him, and he likes to think he's so smart. Well, let's see who's smart now, who's in jail and who's not.
So these emails and these texts that you say that you have, do you plan on publishing them in the future?
I don't know. I don't have a lot. I remember a lot of the incendiary stuff he would just tell me in person or tell me on the phone about, like, having sex with Ann Coulter. He didn't exactly put that in the email. But he did put in the email quoting Louis Farrakhan talking about the Jews saying it was a gutter religion. Mm-hmm. He did call him Christ killer. Roger Stone is a raving anti-Semite.
Wow.
He believes in the Jewish conspiracy against the white man, and he told me that his friend Chris Ruddy also believes that. Chris Ruddy, he was a big friend of the Clintons and Donald Trump both.
Now, you associate Donald Trump and the Clintons and really kind of the Bushes all in one sort of group, and they appear quite different at times. But so what is it that you dislike about them all that they have in common? What is the element that you're speaking out against?
They're criminals.
Right.
It has nothing to do with their political allegiances or what party they're in. They're just flat-out criminals. I mean, read Roger Stone's book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, Case Against LBJ. That's a good book, by the way. That's one of the better books on the JFK assassination. The reason why, because I helped him with it. I was Roger Stone's Sherpa through the JFK Research Committee, and LBJ did it. And the reason his book's important is because Richard Nixon was telling that to Stone, too. And Barry Goldwater knew it as well, as did, you know, Kennedy insiders, Evelyn Lincoln being one, as did Johnson insiders, Evelyn Lincoln, Barr McClellan, Billy Celestis. So you asked me about what they have in common. They're criminals. Read my book, The Clintons War on Women. That details much criminality of the Clintons and the Bush crime family. George Herbert Walker Bush, big-time criminal.
Well, I'm sort of thinking that, but with Trump and Clinton, you're sort of putting toward the sexual abuse of young women.
Trump and Clinton? Bill Clinton's a serial rapist. He was raping adult women, okay? You ever heard of Juanita Broderick? Ever heard of Eileen Wellstone? Ever heard of Liz Ward Grayson? You got to do yourself a favor and buy my book, The Clintons Warn Women. It's not just young women. And he'd be partying with high school girls and taking drugs with his brother Roger Clinton when he was in his 30s, and these were high school girls. And one thing that Bill Clinton and Donald Trump have in common is they're both extremely close to a mega billionaire pedophile named Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes, I'm waiting on that.
Anybody close to Jeffrey Epstein knew he was having sex with underage girls, meaning under the age of consent in the states they were in, New York, Florida, New Mexico, wherever, underage girls, underage in his island, Little Virgin Island, at the Virgin Islands. So, you know, Donald Trump's name is circled by the brother of Jeffrey Epstein as one of the pedophiles. The brother was Alfredo Rodriguez. After Epstein got arrested, he went through his book of contacts and circled everybody that was either a pedophile or knew about the pedophilia. Donald Trump's name is circled. Bill Clinton's name is not circled. But Bill Clinton flew 25 times on Jeffrey Epstein's airplane. They would nickname it the Lolita Express. The neighbors in Little Virgin Islands would nickname his airplane the Lolita Express. You know,
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Lolita, the movie, mm-hmm. The book.
Yep.
So, Clinton had to have known that Jeffrey Epstein was sexually abusing underage girls. There's no way you could hang out with Jeffrey Epstein and not know that. It doesn't mean Clinton was being pandered to young girls, but he knew that. He may have been pandered teenage girls, for all we know, or college-age girls.
You know, here's what I want to know about the Lolita Express and Epstein's Island. How in the hell have they gotten away with this for so long? I mean, it's talked about casually. I mean, it's now a household word, you know, Epstein's Island and Lolita Express. I mean, I don't care who has flown back and forth. Why haven't they been arrested and why hasn't this been stopped? It's still going on today.
Well, no. See, Jeffrey Epstein has already gone to jail 10 years ago. He went to jail for one count of soliciting prostitution, not for pedophilia or child abuse. And he would serve his sentence at nighttime only. He would work in the day at his mansion or his offices and then go to sleep in the jail in his own private unit in Palm Beach.
Oh, the suffering.
So, you know, there's a thing called double jeopardy. He can't be tried again for the same crime. I guess they could get him for other crimes. But the reason you know so much about him is because it was such a clear case of a guy who had so many underage girls and yet got off with like a slap on the wrist. I mean, 1 year, 13 months sleeping at night in jail. Usually you get a 25-year sentence, no parole, for that kind of abuse. 25 years, no parole. So in a few years ago in 2014, the Epstein case was coming up again. I was with Roger Stone. I was educating Roger Stone on the Jeffrey Epstein case. And then I said, Roger, the butler circled all the names of the pedophiles in the book of contacts, and Donald Trump's name is circled. We have to put that in our book or we're not going to have credibility, you know. And he says, well, I'll talk to Trump about this. And then he talked to Trump, and it's in our book. And Trump says, well, I went over to Jeffrey Epstein's house in Palm Beach one time, and I saw these little young girls around the swimming pool, and I thought, hey, it's really nice Jeffrey Epstein's letting the neighborhood girls swim in here. He's a very, very nice guy. And so Donald Trump's people later denied he'd ever been to Jeffrey's Palm Beach home. So he's lying. He's telling Stone I went there. He's telling other people I've never been there. Because Donald Trump's a pathological liar, too. Donald Trump was in the pedophilia deep. When I say pedophilia, I mean Donald Trump raped a 13-year-old girl in New York City in 1994. And he was a germaphobe. And without being too graphic here, he would have these little 12-year-old, 13-year-old girls wearing surgical gloves while they gave him hand jobs.
Now, what proof do we have of this?
Well, the proof is the lawsuit of Jane Doe against Donald Trump. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay, her name was Katie Johnson. That's not her real name either. Okay, she had a series of lawsuits against Donald Trump when he was running for president in 2016. And her lawyer, when she finally got a good lawyer, it was Tom Maher of New Jersey, a patent attorney, who happens to be a fine lawyer. And then later, she was handed off to Lisa Bloom, the daughter of Gloria Allred, who specializes in taking down bad acting, high-profile male perpetrators. So the problem with the case was her friend, Tiffany Doe, who was a witness to Donald Trump raping her, quit cooperating. Tiffany Doe was a woman who had been hired by Jeffrey Epstein to recruit underage girls for his pedophile party. She had a lot of liability herself. She remained friends with Jane Doe or Katie Johnson. I'm telling you behind-the-scenes info that I know, okay, not publicly known in many places. So when her friend, who was going to be a witness to her in the lawsuit, quit cooperating, it was her against the world again. And she thought she could sue Donald Trump anonymously, and she did not want to do public interviews. And Lisa Bloom was trying to force a press conference down her throat a week before the election. Mm-hmm. Without really telling her she was going to do that. She was trying to make a victim do something that she did not want to do. A 36, 37-year-old victim with no money, medical problems, psychological trauma, terrified of Donald Trump. She was going to throw her to the wolves. And so she called all the media to her offices, Lisa Bloom's offices, all the major networks, all the cable channels, all the major media, and her client refused to go out there, refused, and said, you know what, I'm dropping the case now. Goodbye.
Yeah, because at this point, from what you just said, it becomes less about her being a victim and more about, let's get Trump. Watch this.
No, it's more about 10,000 Trumpkins were going to give her death threats. She just did not want to deal with that. And Donald Trump, after he raped her, if you believe her, and I do because Lisa Bloom did, Tom Maher did, the lawyers believed, found her extremely credible. They knew the back end of the story. Donald Trump raped her and then threw a couple $100. She says, well, you weren't wearing a condom. What if I get pregnant? And then he threw several $100 at her, you know, get an abortion. And then he said, if you tell anybody what just happened, I will murder you and your entire family. That was 48-year-old Donald Trump talking to his 13-year-old rape victim who he had tied up with pantyhose. He tied her wrist so tight that her wrist hurt more than whatever he was doing to her genitals at that time. And there was a 12-year-old girl named Maria who Donald Trump used to sexually molest as well. And investigators have found Maria. She's alive. But like Jane Doe or Katie Johnson, they do not want to come public. They will one day. Oh, I promise you, they will come one day. It'll be when Donald Trump's no longer president, and maybe when Donald Trump's dead, and they're in their 50s, and they will come and tell you everything that Donald Trump did to them back in 1994. But right now, he's the president of the United States. He has proven that he'll do anything, and they're terrified of him, and they're terrified of Trump supporters. So you have to wait 20 years to get their story.
Well, why wasn't this put out in the media a lot more than it was? When, okay, let's look at dirty politics then. You know, Trump was able to bring forth all of these women that were pointing their fingers at the Clintons during the campaign. Why didn't they do that, you know, with these victims of Trump?
Well, Donald Trump's victims, by the way, Donald Trump used my book, The Clintons War on Women, to beat Bill and Hillary Clinton. It's one of the few books he's ever read. He would keep my book on his desk as a reference, factually speaking. The women you're talking about that Trump used were women who had been public for 20 years. They're adult women in their 50s and 60s, maybe 70s. I don't know how one of the Broderick is, at least 60s. So their stories have been known for 20-plus years and ignored by the mainstream media or laughed at by the mainstream media. In the case of Katie Johnson and Jane Doe, you know, the media, she was not doing interviews. I'm telling you, she's scared of Trump and the Trumpkins. So how can you get your, she thought she was going to be able to sue Donald Trump and tell everybody about that. That was her way of half-ass exposing Trump, suing him without doing a bunch of major media. She could have done 30, 40 major media interviews. She did not want to. She was terrified. She's a 36, 37-year-old woman with no money. You know, she, remember when you go up against a supposed billionaire, even though he's not, you know, you're going to be going up against people who can hire private investigators on you to lie about you, to find out all the dirt on you, to tell the truth about you and all your dirt and to make up lies about you. They have a media PR campaign all ready to come assault you. She has nothing. But actually, you know, she would have the Democratic Party supporting her, but she was just too scared to get up and do it. And there were problems with her, with the presentation of her case. Her handlers were kind of shady people who, I don't know what their motives were. Maybe they were trying to make money themselves. Maybe they were trying to expose Trump. They were kind of dicey, the men who brought her forward, who got her to the lawyers. And so the media was kind of balking at her handlers. And then they just didn't want to believe, you know, that a 40-year-old man could rape a 13-year-old girl. They don't know the psychopathy that runs at the high level of the American elites or the deviant elites, as Roger Stone likes to talk about. Roger Stone likes to pretend that him and Trump are not part of the deviant elites. They are the card-carrying frontline members of the deviant elite, both of them. But yeah, so right before the election, the Daily Mail ran a hit piece on Katie Johnson. Okay, that's a perfect example of what she was afraid of. You had a reporter who believed everything she was saying, and he was told by management, you're going to make this piece a hit job. We're going to run a headline saying that she was lying and she made everything up. But you don't know the backstory to that. The backstory to that is that the Daily Mail was being sued by Trump over Melania being a prostitute, and that was part of the deal, is that you're going to run a hit piece on Katie Johnson or Jane Doe literally the day before the election. And I remember I was in Austin, Texas. I was out there campaigning against Trump that day with my big sign, Trump's a child rapist. And somebody comes driving past me in a truck and says, she took it all back. She was lying. She made it up. And that person was operating off of the Daily Mail piece that was nothing more than a lying hit job on Jane Doe.
So what's the future of this? You really think that they're going to come out after, you know, after Trump's out of office? What would be the point at that point? I mean, other
than the point at that point, you're not going to be lied about on Fox News by half the country. You're not going to have, you know, 40 million people hating on you. Let's see, what's half the country? Let's say half of Trump, you know, 300 million people. So not quite 150 million or Trumpkins. Maybe there are 100 million Trumpkins out there. So you're not going to have 100 million Trumpkins hating on you in a general election in 2020. I mean, the people who come forward who are whistleblowers, they are not like me. I have a rhinoceros skin. I have a turtle shell. I don't care. Okay, I'm used to the give and take. These people are easily intimidated. They can't handle somebody coming up to them in public saying, you're a liar. I'm going to kill you. You ought to have your head chopped off. You're lying about the president. I mean, did you really want to walk around your normal life, you know, out there on the street and have some nut job come screaming in your face out of the blue? That's what happens when you get into to tiffs with the president. You go to the grocery store. Somebody says, I hate you. You're a liar. You're a slut. Really? You want to do that every single day for a whole year? For 2 years?
Is this sort of the reason you and Stone had a falling out?
Well, yes. I mean, once I became convinced, and after Katie Johnson filed her first real lawsuit against Trump, and I found it credible, around the date of June 20th, 2016, she filed suit in the Southern District of New York against Trump, and I read the court filing, and I read the witness affirmations of her and Tiffany Doe, and they seemed credible, and the fact that I knew that Trump was a close personal friend of Jeffrey Epstein, no matter what he says, that's easily found. So I turned on Trump right there, big time. I'm like, okay, I'm not for the Clintons, but you know what? I'm not running for Trump either. I'm going to run for president myself. And that's what I did. And I got 145 votes in the state of Texas. Me and my handyman did. They're official votes, and they count forever.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to overcome, the two-big party system.
Yes, sir. All right, so what else you want to talk about?
Well, when you get into Clinton and that, what's kind of the biggest surprise that you found when you were researching the Clintons?
Well, I started researching the Clintons starting in 2005 when I knew Hillary was going to run for president in 2008. And so I went to Amazon.com and I literally bought every single used book on the Clintons ever written, like every one that I could find. I've got hundreds of them. And I called them the Clinton Library. Get it? Library? L-I-E, Brary. So what really, my moment of revelation was in 2005 when I was reading a book written by the guy who owns the American Spectator, and he was talking about the CIA drug running in the 1980s, and he was making it out to be that George Bush didn't know about it, that, you know, there were some rogue CIA people running drugs. And based on everything else I'd read up to that point, I'm like, the light bulb went off, and I said it was not rogue. It was the Reagan administration and Bill Clinton intentionally running drugs. And Bush knew it, and Bill Clinton knew it. At that point, the light bulb went off. They're both as evil as the depths of Satan, both of them, Clinton's and Bush's. And they murdered Barry Seal, at least George Bush and Oliver North did. Bill Clinton was happy when Seal got killed. That's the most critical thing to learn about the Bush and the Clintons, is the murder of Barry Seal in 1986. That is the most important thing to learn. Because Barry Seal knew that both the Bush family and Bill Clinton were into the drug trade in the 1980s. And if he hadn't been murdered, you never would have had President Bush elected in 1988. You never would have Bill Clinton in 92, 96. You never would have had a Senator Hillary Clinton. You never would have had Hillary Clinton run for president in 2008. Never would have had her be the Democratic nominee in 2016 against Donald Trump. None of that ever would have occurred if Barry Seal had told what he knew about government drug running in the 1980s. And he was murdered on February 19, 1986. And the book to get on that is Daniel Hopsicker's. It's called Barry and the Boys, The Mob, the CIA, and something else. In America's secret history. So that was the most amazing thing that I learned. The most secret thing was that Bill Clinton was running drugs for me in Arkansas, and the Reagan administration was running Iran-Contra through Vice President Bush and Oliver North, and they were committing all kinds of crimes, rampant drug smuggling at the time that Nancy Reagan was saying just say no to drugs. The government, the Reagan administration, was heavily into the cocaine trade. Oliver North was supervising it. George Bush was supervising it. Bill Clinton, a CIA governor of Arkansas, a Democrat, was enabling it. That was the most important thing that I learned.
Wow. So what do you think the surprise that people will get when they read your book?
There are two other major things that the media has been covering up on the Clintons for decades. One of them is that Chelsea is not the daughter of Bill Clinton. She's the daughter of Webb Hubbell.
Yes. I was hoping you'd say that.
And, you know, you can Google my... I talked to Chelsea Clinton about that. You can Google Robert Morrow, Chelsea Clinton on YouTube. Go to it right now, folks. YouTube, Robert Morrow, Chelsea Clinton. And I'm sitting there asking, is it Chelsea, you know? Has your mother, Hillary, ever told you that you're the daughter of Webb Hubbell and not Bill Clinton? That's what I call an interview right there.
Yeah, what did she say?
She says, I'm proud of both of my parents. Okay, she did not deny it.
That's not an answer. Yeah, that is an
answer. Yeah, okay, she's not denying it. And then the next day or the next week, Jerome Corsi finds Webb Hubbell on the phone and asks him, you know, are you the father of Chelsea Clinton? He did not deny it. Okay, so this is an incredibly important fact about the Clintons, is that they don't even have a child together. That Chelsea Clinton is not the daughter of Bill Clinton is incredibly important. And it's also incredibly discrediting to the Clintons, who would use Chelsea as if they were a somewhat intact, normal family, instead of just a burning dumpster of dysfunction, you know, a Jerry Springer style show, the Clinton life, the Clinton lifestyle. So that's one big one. And the other big one is that Bill Clinton does have a son named Danny Williams, who's the son of a street hooker named Bobby Ann Williams. He really is Bill Clinton's son. And Bill Clinton has never even shook the hands of his own son or done anything for him or gone to his birthday. And then his son has five kids. So Bill Clinton is not just a deadbeat dad, he's a deadbeat granddad. Again, that is extremely discrediting to Bill Clinton as a human being. This is a guy who has this fake, phony foundation, the Clinton Foundation, a money laundering, influence peddling, criminal organization where they get, where, you know, people give them money for political favors down the line. Yet, he thinks he's this world humanitarian and he can't do a thing for his son. Not a thing at all. And this is a guy who's done advertisements about deadbeat dads, who passed a law about deadbeat dads, and he's the king of deadbeat dads, and his son is a Negro? Strom Thurmond had a mix.
But what about the paternity test that excluded him from it? That's
never happened. Fantasy. Fraud. Star Magazine. Owned by Bill Clinton's best friend, 1999. Okay?
Now, in all fairness, I have heard that allegedly Bill Clinton does send money on an annual basis to Danny Williams.
No. Have you ever talked to Danny Williams? Because I have. Do you ever talk to Danny Williams?
No, I've listened to
him. Well, here's the story. The story is, before Bill Clinton was elected president, he would send his state troopers by every month and put $700 in cash in the mailbox of Bobby Ann Williams. That's until he became president. Then the cash payment stopped. You can Google Larry Patterson, Danny Williams. I think you can get it on YouTube. And that's Chris Ruddy. Chris Ruddy interviewed Larry Patterson about that in the late 1990s, a former Arkansas state trooper. And that proves that Bill Clinton thinks Danny's his son. But I'm not really going to count that as anything, because if you haven't even shaken your hand, son, or told him you loved him, or seen him in person, and all you're doing is you're sending some dough, hoping that Bobby Ann will keep quiet until the 1992 general election campaign is over, and then the money stops. I don't really count that as doing anything. So Bill Clinton's still at zero. You there?
Yeah, yes. I'm just
mulling it over.
Yeah, so yeah, if you go to YouTube, you can find that. It says,
yeah,
Danny Williams has a channel. It's D-A-N-N-E-Y Williams. It's Arkansas State Trooper confirms delivering Christmas presents to Danny Williams. Okay, so what does it mean? It means Bill Clinton thinks Danny is his son. So that DNA test you talked about was a fake, a phony. It never happened. It was by Star Magazine that was bought the next month by Bill Clinton's best friend from Georgetown in the 1960s. So Bill Clinton's best friend pretty much owned that magazine, pushing that lie. Got it?
Got it.
Kind of like Donald Trump would use the National Enquirer for his dirty deeds.
Yeah.
Bill Clinton used Star Magazine for his dirty deeds. They had a little fake DNA. The scam was this. We're going to go pretend to do a DNA test with Danny Williams. That way we're going to shut him up, and then the Star is going to report it, then the mainstream media will report what the Star did. So that's exactly what happened. And so you had Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post, who bought the lie hook, line, and sinker, and says, oh, no, there's been a DNA test. It's all discredited now. Garbage. And then 20 years later, you had Callum Borchers of the same Washington Post say, no matter what Matt Drudge says, Danny Williams is not Bill Clinton's son. Garbage. He's his son. Bill Clinton was sending money to him, Callum Borchers. The Washington Post, the fake news Washington Post, has never corrected the record on this. And they also say that a lone nut killed JFK on top of all that.
Wow. It gives us lots to think about. Now, what's your website or contact information for listeners?
Oh, I would say just buy my book, The Clintons War on Women, or buy Roger Stone's book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. I'm on Twitter. Just Google Robert Morrow, D.C. Politics, 2016. I'm on Facebook. Just search for Robert Morrow of Austin, Texas. You'll find me pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. We will have your book on our site as well for people. So if you're listening, you can just click, one click, and purchase the book.
And by the way, you know, Roger Stone hasn't given me a royalty check in years now. But that's okay. Just buy the book because it'll get out important information.
Well, it's going to keep him out of jail. He needs to defense.
It doesn't matter. He's going to jail. And he deserves to go to jail. And I will celebrate the day that the bars close on Roger Stone. But having said all that, Trump is very likely to pardon him at the end of next year. So there you go.
Well, Robert Morrow, thank you very much.
It was an honor to be on your show, Al.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.